A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, sure I can have a baby after 45. Let me throw these chicken bones.
I never thought I'd have a blonde American wife. But when I brought you that ranch dressing, I knew I'd be your dipping sauce for life. I booked a dream vacation on a tropical isle. I only wanted to bone. Oh, how could I have known that I'd quite wind up knocked up and really pissed? Oh, love in paradise. We're planting a banana tree. Love in paradise. Have you heard of poly? Forever in your giant dick, loving paradise.
It's the size of my arm. Fade it, Gary. Wonderful,
it,
wonderful.
Saturday, July 30th, 10:11 a.m. Where were you when you saw Daniel in a baseball outfit?
Ooh, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Back roll. More like butt rolls.
Butt roll.
Yo, there ain't nothing like a man's ass in baseball pants.
This brought me back.
He looks good.
This brought me back to being in middle school and going to watch baseball games.
Oh, no. Are you going to talk about Cody Proctor?
No. Oh, God. His ass was so cute in those baseball shoes. And then we had Coach Scott, who was related to Gary Don Scott, who was the superintendent, and his son, Travis. Gary Don Scott, the superintendent.
D-O-N?
Yeah.
Gary Don does Gary seem Don. To be a strange double name.
Auditorium's named that now, the new one, Gary Don Auditorium.
Stop!
No, because he was the best superintendent.
Wait, Gary Don Scott.
His last name's Scott.
But what, it was the Gary Don Scott Auditorium. You just said Gary Don Auditorium.
Yeah, it's just called the Gary Don. I'm kidding. It's called the Gary Don Scott, but that would be amazing.
I'm kidding. And you act like I would go, no, it has to be called the Gary Don Scott Auditorium.
No, he was great superintendent. He supported the arts because then after he left, the fucking guy that used to be the coach became the superintendent. He got rid of all of our award state winning choir program and speech program. He can fuck off.
I guess I never was thinking about my school as taking the temperature of where the superintendent was.
No, but
I didn't know that they could be such different regimes.
Well, who the name? Mrs. Scott was my third grade teacher. I loved her. Anyway, but I don't know. You didn't have, did your younger brother play sports a lot?
We both played soccer.
Oh, okay. Because my brother played baseball. I mean, that's how I became friends. Ironically, with my friend Jimmy Dons,
nope.
With the DAWN, Scott, is we became friends watching our brothers play baseball.
Jimmy Don.
D-A-W-N.
D-A-W-N.
Jimmy Stewart. Jimmy
not,
Don Stewart.
Not
like the actor Jimmy
yes.
Stewart. J-Y-M-M-E. Jimmy Don Stewart.
Please anyway, move on. I'm begging you.
But no, we were, but no, I, so, but I grew up with. Like
hot men in baseball uniforms.
I realized this kind of was a sexual reawakening for me.
Sexual reawakening.
It remembered, oh, wait, I had crush on all these. Like, I remember David Thronberry had the cutest little ass you could just pounce a baseball off of. So cute.
Well, all we're trying to say is Daniel looks really good in his baseball uniform.
Oh, God, and Greg Mitchell was so hot. Oh, he had the little pants, and they pulled up with the little socks with the little leggings, and he would smile, and his hair kind of got in front of his eyes and just lit up the world.
I think this is something you need to work through.
I think I might have to buy a baseball suit.
Yeah. So, y'all, this is Lip. We were off last week, but we know this. We're going to put this on the free feed later.
Yeah.
But so we're making this up. This is called The Bottom Line, which continuously gay rights.
Gay rights.
Talking about gay sex.
The literally. And then the next episode's called I'm Coming Out.
I am shocked.
Matt Sharp, you're welcome. I think
you're taking credit for
we
this.
We have made you not homophobic. I don't think you ever was homophobic. I don't know, Matt Sharp.
I don't know if I can take credit for it.
I think we sexually liberated Sharp Productions, and they said, let's do a gay show.
Okay. I don't know if I could call this a gay show either.
You're welcome.
There's parts of it. Anyway, we have to move on. So should we just jump in with Ariana and Sherlon?
Yes.
I still can't believe we're talking about this dead end. Everyone knows except Ariana that Sherlon does not want to be in a relationship with her. He wants to do a few things. He wants to maybe see his kid occasionally. He wants to fuck her when he can.
Although she just tweeted on Instagram a whole rant.
Oh, no, they're donezo, y'all.
He's done nothing.
Yeah,
I don't feel like that's a spoiler because...
No, they're done.
We all know. Even when I watch this, like...
He posted a thing about what a baby mama is and what a mama of their children is. And, like, a baby mama will yell at you and blah, blah, blah.
What is interesting about this is we very rarely get to see a fuck boy held to the fire.
Especially by his own mother.
And it was riveting.
Okay, first of all, y'all, Mommy Dearest is here. Joan, Sherlon's mother.
Who I love. And she's gorgeous, and at the same time, looks like Sherlon in a blonde wig.
Yes.
But she's so put together.
But it works for her.
She's gorgeous. So which made me kind of stop
and
go.
But it is his nose.
Would Sherlon look good as a drag queen? Because his mother is gorgeous.
She's kind of got this statuesque tall. She walks in this black and white Have Judgment. It's very Donna and the Dynamos.
Yeah,
ABBA.
I said Cruella DeVille, but you're right because
it's very Mamma Mia.
Very Mamma Mia pantsuit.
Like second act reveal of Man After Midnight.
Yes.
Yeah.
God,
if you've ever seen Mamma Mia, you know exactly what I'm talking
about.
And
if you saw Mamma Mia 2, it's literally just the same songs from Mamma Mia 1, and they just did it.
I will say, I refuse to see that because I know there's no plot left. There's no plot left to do a Mamma Mia 2.
You know what? It was terrible, but I still got drunk and enjoyed myself in the theater. It was better than Sex in the City 2.
I can get drunk and enjoy myself by myself.
It's
okay?
True. If they made a Mamma Mia 3, though, I would go.
What would that even be?
Oh, I'd be blitzed
out of
my mind.
Mamma Mia in space?
Exactly. I would love that. Y'all, so Mama Jones shows up, and
this pantsuit is slaying me.
That's
what I wrote.
As soon as she starts off her line, she said, you know, I'd really like him to settle down and get his stuff together and get married and raise his child. And I went, yeah.
And this was interesting, and maybe it wasn't caught on camera. She's like, oh, so Ariana and Miss Karen and her mother show up.
Karen.
And, well, I'm just saying Miss Karen.
Okay, yeah.
That's because that's what he calls her.
I thought you said Kara. Sorry.
Oh. And he says, oh, it's Odin, blah, blah. She's like, there's the little man. I'm like, did you know where to go hold the child?
Well, they asked if he's sleeping.
Oh, I missed that completely.
Yeah, they said, is he sleeping? He said, so she didn't want to wake up the baby.
I missed that completely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I do wish they would have seen her, like, holding her grandchild for the first time.
Yeah.
Or maybe this isn't it. I thought that would have been a nice moment.
Yeah. I don't know. I just thought it was a little weird.
I just want more Joan, y'all. I want
I
more.
I love her.
We need more cowbell, and we need more Joan.
So, Joan, she basically says, so, what about Ariana? You know, all this, blah, blah, blah. Tell me where things are. And everything good here? And so they're kind of like, well, and Joan is listening to them. And Joan's like, is this true, son? Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, mommy.
Mommy. And yeah, it's so the way he becomes a child. And I like, too, that Ariana's like, well, we're working on it. And Jones, that's what they've been saying this whole time. Ariana and Sherline, especially Sherline, keeps talking about general things, like work on her issues. Joan goes, working on it? What is it?
Yes.
Like, this woman's getting to, she doesn't fuck around. She wants the specifics. And finally, y'all, Mama Karen realizes, oh, I've got
an ally.
I have an ally. And she basically says, look, y'all, you're not a normal couple because of what you both did. You've got a kid now.
God, Karen is throwing it down, too. I love it.
You don't know what it's like, Sherline, when I come home and she's in the shower crying because she had a hard day with Odin and she's doing it all by herself. And you see Mama Joan just going,
I knew this was going to happen.
I knew this.
Isn't he the only boy of his family, Sherline?
I know Johan is.
Oh, maybe I'm
thinking of him. We don't know about Sherline.
Yeah. So, anyway, and then he's like, Sherline's like, sometimes I don't want to talk about the sad stuff when I call you.
Because they say
so
he gets off the phone.
Of course he does. Because, y'all, he's avoidant as fuck, like all fuckboys are.
Yep.
Because that's why they're fuckboys. They're avoidant of anything emotional.
That's the first rule of fuckboy school.
Yes, the first fuckboy. Avoid all emotion.
If Olga Poodleskaya teaches a school for women to marry
how
Chinese
businessmen. How to, women to marry Chinese
businessmen.
Who teaches
school of fuckboy?
Oh.
We're going to think
that,
on that.
That guy named Mystery, who used to be the suave project, or like that taught men to be players or something like that.
Oh, there was a guy named Mystery?
Yeah, like Mystery or something
oh,
like
God.
That.
Oh,
it was awful. It was terrible.
God.
So.
Someone shut a door.
No, it's just my across this way neighbor who slams his door every time he leaves.
And you know, and so there, Joan says, you know, hearing that he's not supporting emotion, she said, I'm shocked. I don't think she's really. But she
I'm
said,
shocked.
But she's saying, I didn't bring him up that way. And they're all kind of like, Ariana's saying, but you never ask about me. And like, girl, it's a sign. And finally, Joan says, let me give you my 2 cents, son. And she says, get yourself together because you have to take life seriously right now. And you know that smell that you make whenever you realize you're going to shit your pants because you ate
the
too much.
The face you make.
Because you ate too much Whataburger at 3 a.m. the morning before. That's kind of the face Sherline makes.
I think you're personalizing that, but that's
Wouldn't know.
She also says, you need to keep it real and do the right thing. And he does. He is shocked that his mother, she's like, my mother's not even on my side. The next thing, Sherline says, fine, I take full ownership of
misleading you. She says
she
changed. Yeah, Ariana said, you changed after I got pregnant. Go ahead.
I take full ownership of misleading you.
Ladies.
I got what I wanted, and sometimes I lose interest. So, y'all, this is radical honesty and it doesn't seem to really be working.
Yeah.
And because I don't think radical honesty will ever work with Ariana.
Now, he says, though, not in front of her. He just says in his confessional. So he still hasn't said this to her.
Right.
He says, I charmed her and acted like I was in a real relationship.
Yes.
And I was. So he's way more honest in his confessionals, which she's seen now, hopefully at least, than he is in person.
But I think if he told her really how he felt about her, like he's doing in his in the moments or confessionals, I think she would lose her mind and refuse to let him see his son.
That's what he's fearful of is that Ariana says, like, just be cool with me. Be real with me.
She can't handle it.
But he does know if I'm real with her,
she can't handle it.
I'm never going to see my kid.
That is the one.
Maybe we're wrong, but that's the feeling I get.
I think she would be vindictive, and she would say, "Nope, your dad is a deadbeat."
Maybe not eventually, but at first, I think it's going to be a while before. And that's sad. Because
I think she is still way too emotionally, it is the way she thinks about the relationship with the father of her child, because she thinks that there should be something, a relationship between the father of her child and she.
I'm telling you, we've never met, seen, heard mention of Ariana's own father.
That is true.
She does not have a relationship with her father, or her father has passed, but something is amiss. And I don't think Ariana picks on up on those things quickly, especially when Ariana, he tells her this, and Ariana said, you know, I think I've suspected that you were misleading me for some time. And I went, oh, Sherlock, really figured that one out, didn't you?
And wow. a little hermit crab goes, no, you don't say.
Yeah.
There's a stork that's flying over going, I've seen it all.
Sebastian, the crab, the little mermaid walks by and says, Ariana, you're an idiot, girl. Even that dumb fucking stork who was combing his scuttle. Feathers with foot, even Scuttle was going,
Ariana, I knew you were, but it was full of shit. Back. The little guppies in the ocean. He's a cheater.
Flounder was like, oh God, what a dumb bitch.
When you got a lot to say, he fucks other girls.
Everybody say, sha-la-la-la-la, he fucks other girls.
Oh, wow.
And we ruined that again.
Every single ocean creature knows Sherlon fucks people on the swingers.
Even
the swingers
that
resort.
Fucking fat fish that just goes,
yes.
Yeah. He knows too. Those dancing eels, they know it.
They know it.
Wow, we've watched
everybody
that movie
knows
too much.
So, and y'all, Joan keeps agreeing with everything Ariana's saying. And Sherlon keeps looking, you gonna throw me under the bus? Anyway.
She's like crying because she says, I feel her pain.
I know I wrote this down. Can you imagine, thinking about the current 90-day fiancé couple, can you imagine Bilal's family siding with Shida
or Emily's
family? This is so interesting, and it just kind of tells you maybe this is not as codependent a family as those two.
Yeah, very much. And so it's basically, I love too. Mama June says, "Look,
Joan
says, when are you going to settle down? When you are 50," and she's like, are you scared of being loved? And then it's like, great editing. This kind of sappy music swells. And Sherlon says, well, I don't want to make myself... Y'all, I guess he listened to one Brene Brown meme.
Right.
Or saw it and said, I don't want to make myself vulnerable. Because... And the violins start playing. And he said, when I was in the 10th grade, a girl cheated on me. And now after that, I said... I cannot trust a woman. I'm just.
I will put a wall around my heart.
I put a wall around my heart and took off all the condoms from my dick.
And Ariana, to her credit, says that was 20 fucking years ago.
And to the editors, there's literally a fucking
record scratch
and just like fucking dump it. I have to say.
What bullshit.
When Ariana said, the way she said, she's like, I'm like, bro. You're a 36-year-old man. And I said, now, if Ariana had that comment, I said, you would win me over.
I know.
You would win me over if we saw this Ariana more. Because when she said it, I was like, give me this Ariana.
It is her own insecurity when she's dealing with her own problems.
But if she's not dealing with her problems, you're right. She's much more level-headed.
Because that's why I think, not that I really want to see her anymore, I think her and Karen would be great on Pillow Talk.
Yes.
I think they would be really fun.
Yes.
Because I think Ariana is great at handling other people's problems.
That's a good point.
Yeah. It's kind of like Libby and Andre sometimes. They can be funny on Pillow Talk, but they can't handle their own shit.
Yeah, that's true.
And at the end, basically, Sherlon says, I have my trust issues. And Joan's like, well, do you think you could have a serious relationship with Ariana? She's like, yes. And she says, choose wisely. And then he drinks from the other cup and dies. Like Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Amazon is telling me to buy that I can buy a replica of the fucking goblet from Indiana Jones. I'm like, why the fuck do I want that?
Because you'll buy anything.
We're going to go go to commercial for people on the free feed that are listening to this when it comes out later on down the road. But for Patreon and Supercast, we'll just keep on going.
Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there.
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cool.
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even keep going queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, have hope. Keep going, queens.
Daniel! Daniel!
Ashton! Hi, girl. It's kimono night.
It's kimono night. Girl, Ashton, I love having you here. It's a girl's night. Let's do body shots. Letting loose tonight. Can I do a cartwheel?
Yes, girl, you do that handstand.
Y'all, this is everything she's ever wanted. Not only does she gets to drink and have kimono night and a girl's night, she gets to do it with not a real girl, because those are too hard for her to get along with, but her best friend,
Ashton,
who is a gay best friend.
Who's got great legs.
He does.
I bet Ashton has a cute little ass and gets pounded by an entire football.
Anytime.
Well, at least the offensive line. He's not a slut either, y'all. Not the whole football team.
So, y'all, they decide, let's have a cat parade!
They go to get the cat treats, and then they
knocks
drop
them all
cats. Y'all, we've all...
She's like, Daniel, you forgot to put the cat treats in the right way! Daniel! Just like you let the cap off my ranch dressing!
And then she's like, by the way, Daniel, we need a pool! We need a pool there! Ashton, don't you want a pool? I want a pool, Ashton!
I will say, she is one of the most reprehensible human beings when she is drinking.
It is
Jekyll
and Hyde. It's like ranch and blue cheese. She just changes, sours.
That's a good comparison. She turns into blue cheese dressing. Normally she's ranch. And she turns into like a stinky, not a well-rounded blue cheese.
No.
One with two that's too chunky.
Like the kind that you get at like Sizzlin' Sirloin that's just ranch with just blue cheese popped
yes.
in it. And
yes.
it just kind of ferments in the ranch.
Yuck! Poor Sizzlin' Sirloin.
Oh, God. I hated it.
So,
Ryan's had terrible blue cheese, too.
So we're going to go through a survey of all buffet steak restaurants.
I want a warm roll now. Doesn't that sound good?
Yes. A big fat yeast roll from Quincy's.
I don't know Quincy's.
Oh, Quincy's is our version on the East Coast.
Oh, okay.
They may be around, maybe not.
Sounds good to me.
It is your kind of average, okay steak and buffet place.
Yep.
We all, there's
My
a place in every
loved
town.
Those. Yeah. Loved them.
Like the steak is going to be overcooked and it's going to be okay.
It'll be on that wood plate with the metal on the middle.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good baked potatoes, though. Yeah. It's hard to fuck those up.
It's hard to fuck those up. Sizz and Sirloin did have good baked potatoes.
Yep.
A lot of different
We need to move on.
Okay.
And those, like I said before, those motherfucking red apple rings that I would pile onto my plate, and my mother's like, you're going to turn into an apple ring, Jay Bird.
Never had one.
Don't spoil your dinner.
All right. So there's not so much to say. But basically, Daniel says, I knew this was going to happen. He calls his brother, who
David.
His brother's hot, too.
And he basically says, he's like, what did you do today? He's like, I went surfing the beach and grabbed a beer with a friend. And Daniel's like, they're having a cat parade in my kitchen.
And then we hear, no! No!
Girl, I can see your vagina, girl.
Why are you laughing? Frisky! Frisky, come here!
Frisky.
Here, come here. Hey, Humphrey! Hey, Fiona, come hand me Fiona!
What's the way here, Dan?
Let's get Fiona. Okay. Right.
I'm in a house with crazy people.
Fanny, get over here, Fanny!
I do need to say he's basically saying, why am I staying in the U.S.? I haven't gotten my work permit. Sometimes I feel like I want to come back to Venezuela or to Costa Rica. And he's like, there are too many crazy people in this house. And so basically he's like, we'll see. The big thing is finally he comes out of the room and he's like, let's go to our rooms. Like, she's like, I don't want it.
She acts like a little kid. She goes, ooh. Daniel, we're having a cat parade. And it's your fault because you left the bag open.
Daniel, you left the treat open and my red stress thing is spilled over and Ashton's going to shave his asshole.
Ashton's getting fucked tonight.
So I can't go to bed because I have to shave Ashton's asshole with a straight razor.
I'm shaving his asshole, yes. I shall be right there.
And he's going to bring over as many guys to pound him as he wants.
Yes. Because
he pays rent.
He pays $500.
I will say, I think this was actual pain for her because she needed to let loose.
Yeah.
And if you've been a server, you know it is a high-stakes job, and it is very stressful.
And so I'm on two minds, and we'll talk about this more next, but... the next episode, but it's like you can say Amber knew what she was getting into.
Yep.
Yes, and on paper, you know what you're getting into sometimes.
Yep.
But like emotionally, you didn't know it was going to be like this.
No, she's having she's kind of having a meltdown, but she's like, I need a break. Give me a break.
Because people feel that way about marriage. They think they know what marriage is going to be.
Yep.
Period. When marriage is... when two people are from the same country. And so she's like, Daniel, let me have fun, please.
We have fun, Daniel, please.
We have fun in Costa Rica.
Remember we just drink rum drinks.
And rum drinks.
You'd feed me. You'd feed me chicken fingers.
Yeah, Daniel, just want chicken fingers, Daniel.
And then she falls asleep. So the next morning,
your poor neighbors today.
The next morning, he is suiting up with his baseball uniform or his softball uniform.
God,
and it looks so hot. And I wrote down,
you can see his dick.
You can.
Looks good.
I wrote down, good for him for finding his people and finding a connection to who he is still in this country. Because
they're very lucky that they live in Florida,
right?
Where there's a lot of people that
kinda
have
like
done this.
Kobe, who has no connection
or
to his
Kobe
heritage,
who has no connection, or it reminded me of like, Melanie and DeVar, like when he moved up to, where were they? Like Pennsylvania or something like that. And there's no one there.
Yeah, but it's this is good, and this just tells you if you're in a 90-day fiance situation. Encourage your partner, please go and find something that reminds you of where you grew up, something familiar. Don't take that from them.
I wouldn't be surprised if Amber even thought to help him find this.
I think she probably... We make fun of her. She's a lot more proactive and a lot more self-aware than we give her credit for.
I have to say...
I like her.
I really like Amber. Honestly, I like Amber a lot because I think she's more relatable in that when we were younger, we did do stupid shit like this and get drunk and like want to, because she's at that age where she's about to be 30. Or maybe she is right at 30.
She's over 30.
She's just, but I think just her. So she's just at that age where you're kind of like letting go of being a kid and an adult. She bought this house. Like, she took on too much.
And she gets a lot of hate online because she kind of is a symbol for everyone's basic blonde bitch. And so.
Which she can be. We're going to talk about that at the barbecue next episode. But, so, yes, we see Daniel. He's
the Tampa Gators. They're a Venezuelan softball team.
I mean, I would like for him to have friends more of his age.
Yeah.
But if it's because, but that is weird that Daniel is like only 26.
Daniel.
He's younger, but yet it is kind of like, we forget, y'all, Daniel was going to have a professional baseball career, and then.
Right, he got shot.
He was riding a motorcycle and was shot in the shoulder and the leg, and it ended his baseball career, and he basically fled.
Had to flee the country.
Venezuela, because it's a not safe country for a lot of people right now. That's an understatement. Yeah. So it's like Marcos in
Below Deck.
Below Deck left as well. So I think maybe sometimes Amber forgets that Daniel, I don't think, wants to live a kid life. He wants to be an adult and like build some safety.
He says in the next, we'll talk about this, but he's like, I'm tired of surviving. I want to dream.
Don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. You're going to make me cry. He was emotional.
I will say these two are now in one of my favorite couple.
I
love them.
I think they both would be hilarious on Pillow Talk.
I think they would be.
I still think what makes me a little sad, I feel like this is one couple we needed on 90 Day Fiancé this
season.
Thank
you.
Because we need someone that we actually root for and want to believe in.
I rooted for Karen Guillermo.
Yeah.
I root for them.
I think that's the only reason they weren't is because they're very similar storylines.
That's true.
Very similar storylines.
I didn't think about that. Whereas that's a good point.
Karen Guillermo are slicker.
They're
much more social media savvy, so I understand why they got put on 90 Day. But Amber and Daniel are just, I think, messier like we are as people.
Yeah.
Well, like you and I are.
I wish they could have replaced Jabri and Miona.
Oh, Jesus. God. I love them, too. Anyway.
But anyway, he's talking with the guys. Is it Alex and Alexander? I'm getting that wrong. And they're saying, you know, it's different. Be patient with American women. They're going to want you to do so many things when you're here, and I know it's hard when you can't work. So he gets a good earful from his friends about, they say it's okay to feel like the way you're feeling now, but know that they're basically saying, that's how all American women are.
And that when they feel like things get stressed, they say you're just here for the green card.
Right.
When I love that they're showing this side of these people really love someone, and that wasn't the case at all.
Yep.
All right. I think are you ready to move on?
I am ready to move on to Abby and Gabby.
Oh, boy. Not too much with Mama Con and Baby Con.
No, it's kind of the same beat.
It is. I feel like they're dwindling down. You know, it's that after the excruciating, like, horrible night where Abby and
I wish to be at the bottom of the sea.
And so
she called upon the four winds.
She did. It was she's still out in sea casting spells.
Yes, yes.
Abby meets up with Rodney.
Rode on an octopus.
Yeah.
To see.
And she just keeps the harness with her in her backpack. And so Abby, she meets up with Rodney, and basically what you kind of got from this is Rodney basically is just trying to figure out, like, what happened. Like,
after
Rodney
we
said,
left,
I thought you communicated this. I didn't mean to tell Gabby everything and throw you under the bus. And Gabby says, no, I was a person that was lying. So it was I shit the bed on this.
And Rodney says, look, Frankie was only about you, and he wasn't interested in Gabby, and you know that. And then, basically, Abby is trying to tell Rodney, no, that's not true. Either Frankie lied to you, or something's amiss here. And he's like, no, no, he wanted us. I said I could marry him. And then we would bring Gabby there. And Rodney just went, girl, there ain't no way you can bring two girls back to the U.S. That we've all been saying.
I'm trying to remember it. Did Frankie say that he was going to do that?
I don't remember.
I can't. God, we can't even remember.
Yeah.
But I feel like Frankie did say that.
And then Abby says, Frankie lied to me.
I think actually he didn't say that.
Yeah, I don't think he did. He said he was really into Abby.
Y'all remember better than we do.
And anyway, she's saying, I hope she can forgive me. I say this was all an attempt to break up with Gabby.
I agree.
This was a complete attempt. This was a big attempt to break up with Gabby.
She was trying to con her mother.
So she could move to the U.S., and this was the way she saw to do it. Can you not take the tag off your shirt while we're doing a podcast?
I don't have a tag. This sticker is inspected by number one, and it's scratching me. But thank you, number one. I appreciate you.
I love it when I'm talking, and you start doing something.
I'm actually listening. I'm just touching my shirt and listening. You literally have gone on and are responding to a dick pic and typing as I talk
to
you.
I'm sorry. What else?
So I won't handle it.
What else am I supposed to do?
Because I live in a world when Poodle's done talking a subject, he just goes on his phone.
When you're on hour 20 of another Oklahoma story.
I'm just adjusting my shirt. Okay. So Gabby and Gabby finally agrees to meet Abby. And I love it. Best quote of the show is, they sit down together and Gabby looks at her and she said, I had the worst night of my life. And Abby's just kind of like,
The seabirds were crying and I was crying with them.
So
I am in touch with the elements.
So Abby's just, all you need to know is Abby basically, it's kind of the same beat as the last couple of episodes. She's basically saying, I fucked up. It was my fault.
I have doubts that Abby loves me, Gabby is saying.
Yeah, like Meryl Streep, she has doubts now.
I have doubts.
So Gabby is saying, like, how can I trust you? And what is weird is Abby literally is just trying, because Gabby says, but wait a minute. Did you love Frankie as much or more than you loved me?
And there's a moment where Abby went, ew.
And she says, when I made the decision, I felt the same intensity for him that I felt for you.
Then Gabby says this, and this is the best line of their whole segment. So, you included me in your plans. Why didn't you tell me?
Yes, I love that she said too, did he conquer your heart that fast?
Yes! Did he conquer your heart? Like the queen of the sea conquers the seafloor.
And Abby.
Nightly.
She asked her that, like, because she says, we've been together 10 years. You knew him for 5 days. And Abby totally says, but now my love for you grows stronger because I realize what I could.
And she said, I was confused and it happened so fast. And then she said, Abby says, I prefer to be with you. Gabby says, I can't help thinking she's just trying to save us because Frankie decided he doesn't care. Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, 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 ding. Because Gabby says, it's been 10 years. I can't throw it all away. But she looks at Abby. She says, but I will never forget. You know how I am.
I will call upon the winds. It will rain down upon you a thunderstorm. A monsoon.
Okay. Let's talk about gay rights. It's not a lot.
Ugh.
Valentine and Carlos.
Santa Marta.
They're in Santa Marta. It's a whole different... They had a fight, but they made up. But now it's a whole different vibe. They're like in the water, kissing.
He's kind of kissing, yeah.
They're expressive. Carlos
and
is like
don't get that hair wet, Valentine.
No. Carlos is like, he's so hot shirtless. I'm just dying to be with him. I love him. He's in lust with him as much as love.
They're paddling, or kayaking. Valentine's having a hard time kayaking.
He does well. He kind of saves himself.
Like with T-Rex arms.
Yeah. He's and like, then when they're going they're back, ornamental. He's like, now I'll paddle because I want to get back to shore. Whatever. They're funny. And so they sit down and Valentine says, no, I know you're looking at my butt and I know that I've been looking at yours. And Carl says, one day I hope that your butt will, that you will let me use your
you
butt.
You will let me use your butt. I've
and been there.
One day I hope you will let me use your butt. I'm like, why are you sweet talking me so?
Those pretty words.
It's pretty words coming out of your mouth like
that. That's some pretty talk, Jethro.
So they're talking about butts, and Carlos is like, I hope that you could be a bottom for me one day. And Valentine's like, you're so funny.
And Carlos, and Valentine says, I don't know if I could be a verse. And then in his confessional, Valentine explains to the world what a verse is.
What a verse is. A V-E-R-S, not a verse. Like, I'm going to sing you a verse of my favorite song.
No, a verse meaning you take it and you give it, and this is gay rights.
This is gay rights.
You take the dick in your butt, then you turn around and take and then give it back. The facts of sex.
The facts of gay.
Gay. Here we go.
So
work on that.
Besides being a big step forward for gay rights, actually a big step forward for kind of bringing gay sex out of taboo territory.
It really is.
And so I'm like great for doing that.
It really is the learning channel. Who knew?
I guarantee you Carl's wife learned a lot.
Carl!
I learned what a verse was.
I think your cousin Tyler is a verse.
No, he's not.
She is
not
now,
if his name's Tyler. He's a bottom.
He's a bottom. She is now labeling every gay person she knows and talking about with Shooter.
Carlos, I think Shooter, are you a verse? Because I've seen you get humped by a dog, but then you hump a dog. I think you're a verse, Shooter. Shooter, go get your penguin and we'll hump. Come on, Shooter, go on.
You can
go
be
on,
the, you can be the top and the bottom.
Good for you, Shooter. You get, oh, Shooter, you get it. He's a verse.
That may have happened around the world.
That happened around the
gay
world.
Gay rights. We are witnessing another movement, another moment in the gay sexual liberation.
We are.
We are witnessing it.
We are witnessing it.
I want to talk about one thing.
Please.
The downside of all this talk is that it seems like you to be that being a verse or being versatile, that's where it comes from, is so there are only, it does seem like there are only, first of all, it was created as a binary for us. And then we find out in episode 7 that there is a third option that is to be versatile. Neither one of these people want to do that.
However, I was surprised they came, and I agree.
Yes.
But they came, I was surprised Valentine came to this decision that they can wait till after they've been together for 3 years before they introduce someone.
And this was out of nowhere.
I went, and what?
And that's why I felt, and I'm not saying that Valentine was lying, but I think this was all pretty talk.
Either he's lying now, or he's been lying as a plot point of the show.
Yes.
This whole time.
Yes. I think it feels...
Either way, there's a bit of fraudacity.
So you felt that way too?
Yeah.
It felt like
he just turned. He just, as they like to say on 90 Day Fiancé,
He made a 360
in 1 second.
The other thing is, and Valentine basically says, he says, we talked about polyamory and I'm ready now. And I went, okay. And Carlos says, I don't feel that a third person should be here right now because we're getting together right now. And I'm like, well said.
Well said.
And it's almost like that's all you had to say. And Valentine's like, well, maybe we need more than 2 or 3 years together. And then here's what I'm thinking, though. I think it's 2 to 3 years of them being in a long-distance relationship, and Valentine can still fuck whoever
maybe.
He wants. And Carlos sits watching the shore like a salt wife.
Does.
And then they decide. So that was the loophole I thought about.
Possibly, yeah.
Because I don't think Carlos wants to move to the U.S.
No.
Yeah. I don't think, neither one of them really talked about what they wanted to do.
No, they haven't talked about what their future plans are.
So it's interesting. The only other thing is, Carlos says, I'm satisfied without penetration. Valentine does not comment on that. He is not. And he says, and I wrote down, I don't think Valentine will wait 3 years before polyamory is brought up again. And he says, if Carlos can't accept polyamory, that will be the end of the relationship. Again, I think this is a problem with any type of, if you're issuing an ultimatum, ultimatums, it needs to be in the beginning. And if there's a person, if you're saying, I need you to break your boundary mm-hmm. constantly, y'all, that is someone who's not respecting your boundaries. So
my shirt tag also said it's made in Taiwan.
That's the show. That's the show. I can't take any more.
Neither can Carlos or Valentine.
No, they can't take it. Can't,
but no, you're right. You're right. All right, everybody. That's Lip. That is this. We've got a movie to see, so we're going to jump into episode A. But we call these people Lonely Hearts Poodle because aren't we all just Lonely Hearts looking for love on a beach somewhere in all the wrong beaches?
And if you want to go to a drunken cat parade,
Frisky,
and wear kimonos, it's a chandelier cat parade scream.
Cats on parade. Meow, meow, meow.
I think the ideas of cat parade sounds a lot better than what they came up with.
Just call us, y'all.
Call us.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.